Did the circumstances of your life, beloved, look so bleak? Are you sick and are you wondering if you can ever get well? Do you feel like there's no way for you ever to be clean because you've been so unclean? Oh, beloved, I know that God has brought you to this program so that you can learn His precepts for life, precepts and incidences that were taught right here in the city of Capernaum, the hometown of Jesus, where we're going to talk about faith, faith that takes God at His word. I'm in the ancient ruins of a synagogue that was built on the foundation stones where Jesus Christ stood himself and said that he was the bread of life. We're in Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. We come to that first statement of when Jesus had finished these teachings. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Why would he be teaching them as one that has authority? Because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Well, this is a very unusual word, but it's a word that's used several times in the Gospel of Matthew. It says the crowds were amazed at his teaching. The word means struck out. It means overwhelmed. It means astonished. They were absolutely astonished. It threw them off balance. They had never heard anyone teach like that. He comes down off of the mountain, which is not far from Capernaum, and large crowds followed him. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I would underline that phrase, if you are willing. This was a man of faith. This was a man who recognized that Jesus had the power to take him from a disease that made him an outcast, that called him unclean, that this man, Jesus, could be willing and he could heal him of his leprosy. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Remember, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that he did not come to break the law or to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Jesus was the perfect fulfillment of the law because it was the law and the prophets that pointed to Jesus Christ. Under the law, they made sacrifices for sin. He was the sacrifice. Under the law, they worshiped in the tabernacle. He was the tabernacle. He tabernacled with men, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Don't tell anyone that I healed you, but go and show yourself to the priest. And he says, show yourself to the priest and present the offering as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Show them that you want to keep the law, that you want to do what the law says. Now, if you and I were to go back to the book of Leviticus And the book of Leviticus is a book that covers 1 month of time, a month that is where the children of Israel sit at the foot of Mount Sinai and where they receive the law and where they learn that they are to be holy even as He is holy. Well, when we come to Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14, we find much that tells us about leprosy. There's a lot of time spent in the law dealing with what lepers are to do. In Leviticus chapter 13, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of the body, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or one of the sons of the priests. And the priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the infection has turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of the body, it's an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. And that man will stay unclean for 7 days. And then he'll come back to the priest again. And the priest again will look at the infection. And if he's sure that that man has leprosy, then that man is isolated from the rest of the people. Because it's an infectious disease. It's a disease that causes you to become absolutely numb and dead. You in all probability have seen pictures of lepers that have no hands but have a stub, pictures of lepers that have no feet but have an ankle bone. What has happened? It's not that leprosy has caused their body to rot away, but it's that leprosy deadens the body. And then with that dead body, if they put their hand in a fire or they put their hand in the way of something that they are cutting, then they don't even feel it. Or they can be asleep and the rats can come and they can gnaw on their flesh and they don't even know it. And so they wake up with a finger gone, a finger eaten by a rat. It was a terrible, terrible disease. Well, in Numbers chapter 14, he tells the leper what they are to do if they are healed. When they come to the priest and finally the leprosy is gone, if it does go away, then he's told the offerings that he is to bring, the various offerings and what he is to do. Why? Because there is a sacrifice to be made to God because that person has been healed of their leprosy. Well, this leper that meets Jesus when he comes down off of that mountain, looks at Jesus, knows that he is able to heal him, and knows it's just a matter of one thing. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can heal. He does not doubt the power of God. All he wants to know, and this is very important, is it a matter of God's will that his leprosy be healed. It's not an issue of sin or not sin. It's not an issue of maybe he can or maybe he can't. He knows that Jesus is able to do it. The question is it his will? What have you asked God to heal you from? What pain have you asked God to take out of your life? What hurt are you dealing with that won't go away? What has made you, in a sense, unclean and separated you from others? Do you realize, beloved, that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe that? Do you understand that he can? It's just a matter of, is it his will? Is it his will to repair that broken relationship? Is it his will to take away the cancer? Or is it his will that you bear it? The leper knew, if you are willing, you can make me whole. You can make me clean. And what did Jesus say? I am willing. Let's go back, beloved, to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, and this is what Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In verse 5, it says, and when Jesus entered Capernaum, A centurion came to him. Now you have to understand that Capernaum is far greater than the ruins that they have today. It goes much, much farther and much, much up the hill from the Sea of Galilee. But what they have restored is absolutely remarkable, because they have found the original stones to the synagogue where, as I told you, Jesus said he was the bread of life. They have found Peter's house, and it's about 60 yards right out the door as I am facing. And there is Peter's house. You say, how did they know it's Peter's house? Because they have found evidence that dates back to the time of Jesus, showing that this was a place later on where a church was gathered and where they began to worship God, and they continued to worship God. And it all fits into the geography of the times. So Jesus was coming into Capernaum. Capernaum was his headquarters. This is where Peter lived. And as he comes in, as he's entering Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, what you have to understand is this is a Gentile that is approaching Jesus. It is not a Jew, but it is a Gentile that is approaching Jesus on behalf of a Jew, because the Romans were the rulers. The servants were the Jews. And this centurion had a Jewish servant who needed to be healed. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, will you heal him? And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers unto me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. He goes on to say, and I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. I understand authority. I am a ruler over these people. I'm a ruler over my servant. I'm a ruler over my soldiers. And because I have authority, they do what I say. You don't need to come to my house. I know that you're a man of authority, and all you have to do is say the word. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. What a slam against the Jews. What a slam. Jesus knows the hearts of men. Jesus understands when a person really believes who he is and what he says. And he looks at that man who is a Gentile and says, I have not found such great a faith in all of Israel. What would God say today, beloved, about your faith? We'll talk about it in just a minute.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation?
When Jesus heard the centurion's faith in respect to healing the man, you don't need to come to my house. I'm a man under authority, and I know that you have authority, and I know that you can speak and that you can heal him. Jesus absolutely marveled at that man's faith. He marveled so much that he told us something very interesting. This is what he said. I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What is he talking about? He's talking about a day coming when they will set a table and when the men will recline at that table as they did in biblical times with the triclinium, the three-sided table that was close to the floor. And they would lie on mats on the floor and they would lean there at the table and they would eat. And he says there's a day coming when people are going to come from the east and when they're going to come from the west and where they're going to recline at table and they're going to recline there with Abraham. They're going to recline there with Isaac. They're going to recline there with Jacob. Remember, God made his covenant, an everlasting covenant with Abraham. And then he confirmed it to Isaac, and then he confirmed it to Jacob. And he says they're going to recline at table in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, the Jews, shall be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because these people who were his own. Jesus came to his own, John chapter 1, verse 12, and his own received him not. Those are supposed to be the sons of the kingdom. Those are the ones to whom Jesus Christ came. He came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And yet here is a Gentile that has a greater faith than a Jew. And he is saying, these sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping, and there will be gnashing of teeth. Why will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He came. He came to his own. His own would not receive him. His own would not believe in him. And consequently, they're going to be cast out. But here is a centurion that has believed and understood who Jesus Christ is and the authority that he has and the power to heal. It says, and Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. At that very moment, when that man believed, Jesus said, your servant is healed. And the servant was healed. And it says, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed sick with a fever. Now, if I were to get up and go through the main entrance to the door to the synagogue, I would walk, as I told you, about 60 yards, and I would be in the house of Peter. And Jesus leaves the synagogue. And he goes to the house of Peter. And when he gets to the house of Peter, he finds Peter's mother-in-law, who is ill. That means Peter had a wife. And she was lying in bed sick with a fever. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her. And she got up and waited on him. And when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word. And he healed all who were ill. Can you imagine the great things that took place in the city of Capernaum? It says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Where is that found? That's found in a passage that many Jewish people avoid. They avoid it because they cannot understand it. They avoid it by saying, this is a prophecy about the nation of Israel. When it's really not a prophecy about the nation of Israel, it's a prophecy about God's servant, the Messiah who is to come. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13, it says, "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man." They're describing the scourging that Jesus went through just before he was crucified. They're describing how he looked as he hung on the cross. People would look at him and say, "My God, what is that? What is it?" Because it says he was marred so that he didn't even look like a human being, is what the Hebrew says. And it says, "Thus he will sprinkle many nations." Then in Isaiah 53, it says, "Who has believed our message?" And that's the question. Who has believed, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground, the virgin birth. And then it talks about him. And then in verse 4, it says this, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows," or our sicknesses, "our diseases he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." What happened that day in the city of Capernaum? The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 was fulfilled. It says this was, in verse 17, to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. "He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." That was his ministry here on earth. Later on, it will say in Peter, "By his stripes we are healed." But there it's talking about being healed of sin. As you look at Matthew chapter 8, there are several things that I want you to underline. In verse 2, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then in verse 8, the centurion says, "I'm not worthy, but just say the word." Just say the word. And then in verse 13, he says to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." What's God's lesson to us? I believe it's a lesson of faith, of knowing that God can do anything. It's just a matter, is it his will? I think the second thing he wants us to see is that all God has to do is speak. And it happens. All he has to do is give the command, and it is done. And the third thing I think that I need to see, that it shall be done according as you have believed. Oh, beloved, let your faith grow. Let your faith grow by continuing to study the Word of God as you and I are studying it, precept upon precept, so that we get understanding as we understand his precepts for life, so that we study his word, so that we can say to God, "I have not strayed from your commandments, for you yourself have taught me." Let us know that when he speaks, that you and I are to believe him, and it will be according to our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The leper believed God. The centurion believed God. They had no doubt whatsoever that Jesus was able to do what he said. And when he did what he said, then he was fulfilling the scripture that was written in Isaiah the prophet some 700 years before. Matthew loves to quote Isaiah because Isaiah points to the one who came, the one who came and took our infirmities and carried away our diseases, just as he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit in Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, beloved, it's all here in the book. Just know you have one responsibility, and that is to believe. The day is coming to an end. As a matter of fact, the Sabbath has begun. And so if I were among my Jewish friends, I would say, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, the Sabbath has come. As I'm here in the synagogue in Capernaum, I want to stop and I want to give you a precept for life, beloved. A precept for life that I want you to grab hold of, that I want you to write down and put on your refrigerator. It's without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because if you're not taking God at His word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hearing what God says and saying, I know that you can perform what you say. I know that you watch over your word to perform it, and I am going to believe you. Because if I don't believe Him, then I'm not treating Him as God. I'm not acknowledging the authority that He has as the sovereign ruler of the universe. I'm not acknowledging His promises that nothing is impossible with Him. He is the God of all flesh and nothing is too hard for Him. I'm not acknowledging the fact that what He says, He means. And He has given to us in this book exceedingly great and precious promises. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness. But there's only one way that you laid hold of it. You lay hold of it, precious one. And that's by believing God. And as your faith grows, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. That's just a tiny little bit of faith. So what is your precept for life today? As I stand here in the synagogue in Capernaum, it is believe God. Believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And precious one, if you will walk by faith, then you will not walk in fear. If you walk by faith, you will walk in confidence instead of trembling. If you walk in faith, then the fear of man will not be a snare to you, because you will have your eyes on God, and you will know that as God has spoken, so it will surely come to pass. All of His promises are yea and amen, beloved. So grab those promises, cling to those promises, and live according to His precepts for life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.